We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Time now for the Brian Barrett Show on EEI.
So if you look at last year and how that team ended up, I guess specifically with regard to Miami, do you feel like what Danny has done in this short off season is enough to for this team to look at being able to advance farther next season?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we were a Final Four team, if you just want to put it that way, and felt like we had a pretty good fight with Miami and, you know, could have gone either way. Let's just leave it at that. Frustrated that we didn't go farther, but they beat us. But we're a Final Four team, and we've added, you know, Tristan Thompson and Jeff Teague and a couple of rookies who can really shoot, and we'll see if they can contribute. And we've brought everybody else back except Gordon, who will be missed.
All right, welcome in. We're with you until 1 a.m. And before we get started into some of the stuff that happened at Media Day for the Celtics, a bomb dropped on us from the Celtics by Danny Ainge today. But before we do that, just thank you so much to everybody that contributed today to WEI's Giving Tuesday to benefit the Jimmy Fund. Unbelievable that it's over $1 million in donations. Unbelievable job. And by the way, still time. Visit jimmyfund.org/Tuesday. Text KCANCER to 20222 to make a $25 gift, or you can text KCANCER to 56512 to donate. And we do understand some of you are unable to donate. So if you'd still like to contribute, help us spread awareness and get the hashtag KCANCER trending by logging onto your social media profile and telling your followers who you'd like to KCANCER for. You can download a graphic to post by going to weei.com/GivingTuesday. Unbelievable job by all of you today that donated. And if you can't donate, use that hashtag to bring awareness. And we all know somebody in our lives that is dealing with the horrible disease. My father just went through it. He's in remission, thankfully, now from lymphoma. But I know how difficult it is for people to have to deal with this, especially young children and stuff along those lines, people that are growing up that have to deal with this terrible disease. So an unbelievable event, especially considering that we are in a pandemic right now, and this event today raised over $1 million. Unbelievable stuff. All right, we're with you until 1 a.m. The number is 617-779-7937. So there was some big news here today in town. Now, ordinarily, that'd be the Patriots or Tom Brady doing something crazy in terms of his relationship with Bruce Arians. Really, I should say Bruce Arians doing something crazy, calling out Tom Brady. But today it was the Celtics, because all of a sudden it kind of sneaks up on you. The NBA season is here. Okay, it gets underway pretty shortly. We found out today that the Celtics are going to be playing the Brooklyn Nets to not to open up the season, but on Christmas Day. Adrian Wojnarowski tweeted that out, which is awesome. Kyrie Irving's coming back to TD Bank, but he's not going to be playing in front of fans. So Kyrie will show up because there's no fans. Remember, the last time Kyrie Irving actually played against his former team in that building that he used to play in was the first game that he played as a member of the Celtics when Gordon Hayward broke his leg. That's the last time he's gone back to one of his old buildings, so to speak. Never went back to Cleveland after that as a Celtic. And of course, last year, I get it, he was dealing with injuries, but he never came back to Boston. But Christmas Day, you get the Nets. Unfortunately, you have no crowd there. But I do want to get to Danny Ainge today, because he held a press conference and Jason Tatum and everybody spoke and Brad Stevens, etc. And Danny Ainge was asked about Kemba Walker and his knee, which is now still a problem.
Hey, Danny, you had hinted a few weeks ago that Kemba might be ramped up a bit once the once you guys got going. How much of a long-term concern is there over the state of his knee over the, after the way things have played out over the past several months?
Well, I think this next year will tell us a lot more. I think, you know, he saw some specialists over the last, 6 or 8 weeks. And they all came to the same conclusion. And I think that gave Kemba a great peace of mind as he went to different really good doctors in our country and got the same opinions. And he's on a program. He seems to be in a very good, happy spot. And, maybe we didn't do him justice by bringing him back too fast into the bubble and, finding some urgency to get him ready.
Oh, well, that sounded great. So we'll find out this year if there's any long-term ramifications with the issues in terms of Kemba Walker's knee. And just to keep you updated here, if you haven't heard, Kemba Walker had a stem cell injection today to hope that that helps alleviate the pain and gets his knee back to being normal so he can actually be on the court this upcoming season. What we do know is this. He's expected to return to on-court activities in early December, and it'll be reevaluated in the first week of January. We heard Danny Ainge. I think this year will tell us a lot in terms of the future of Kemba Walker as a member of the Celtics in terms of his health, because right now the contract's awful. That's not even debatable. But right now you're just concerned, when is this guy going to actually be on the floor? Stevens said today, Brad Stevens did, that he would expect a similar buildup and a minutes restriction for Kemba when he does actually return. Unbelievable. And Danny Ainge alluded to the fact in that sound we just played for you that, oh yeah, guess what? We're not so sure if we didn't bring him back too early in terms of the bubble. So what a press conference for the Celtics today that they held. It's your media day, right? And I get it. It's not in a traditional sense. It's over Zoom, etc. But this is supposed to be a good day for the organization. And what an absolute disaster it was. It was about Kemba Walker once again dealing with a knee issue. And we're not going to see him back on the court until some point in January. You're hoping that's when he's going to be able to resume stuff. Now, he resumes basketball activities in December, but we're not expecting him to actually contribute to the team until the new year. This is after, remember, he couldn't really do much when they got to the Orlando bubble last year because he was dealing with a knee issue after having 4 months off. So the main talking points today for the Celtics at, again, their opening day, so to speak, their media day. It wasn't about, oh, yeah, it's a great season last year. You made it all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals. It's, no, what the hell happened with Gordon Hayward and what the hell's going on with Kemba Walker's knee? Not Jason Tatum signing his extension. And sure, yeah, that was a talking point. But the Kemba injury stuff and Hayward going to Charlotte, those were the two most newsworthy items in terms of the media day. See, like the Lakers right now, they're talking about their additions of Dennis Schroeder and Montrezl Harrell. The reigning defending champs are talking about adding to their arsenal. You have a team like the 76ers. They're going to be talking about getting their new head coach, Doc Rivers, and getting a healthy Ben Simmons back. They bring in a shooter like Seth Curry. They're optimistic about where they're going this year. The Celtics are telling us that, yeah, we're not so sure what the future of Kemba Walker's knee is going to be. This year is going to tell us a lot, and we just gave him a stem cell injection. That's what we're talking about as it pertains to the Celtics, who were two wins away from a trip to the NBA Finals last year. So what a brutal day, just horrible. So let's get to Kemba first here. So I told you last year when he needed that injection, and he needed to have his knee drained, that he has an arthritic knee. That's just the reality of where Kemba Walker's at. Remember, he had three separate knee procedures when he was a member of the Charlotte Hornets. Three different knee procedures on that left knee. And now we find out today he had a stem cell injection, which is used for arthritis and cartilage degeneration. That's what it's for. This happens a lot in sports, like to older athletes. And it's so you can help, so you're not dealing with this bone-to-bone stuff. The hope is the cartilage will grow back. And you can prevent some of the pain that you go through on a normal basis with Kemba Walker. But basically right now, it's the Julian Edelman situation. That's what Kemba Walker has in his knee, is a bone-to-bone situation. And remember, this stem cell stuff, there's no guarantee that it's going to work. Just like the injection he had last year, there was no guarantee that was going to work, and it didn't. remember, he came back a little bit, but then what happened? Oh, yeah, when he's going back to the or when he's going to the Orlando bubble, after 4 months off, he's not ready to go. So they're just scratching right now with the Celtics to try to find ways to make it more comfortable for him in the hope that he can play. Danny Ainge admitted himself they don't even know how this is going to be long term. He said they're going to find out more this season. So this is where I'm at with Kemba Walker. And I don't blame the Celtics for having him do this stem cell injection. It's the last hope. I mean, what else are you going to do for the guy? You gave him tons of time off last year. He had his knee drained. He had an injection last year. None of it's worked. This is kind of the last option for the Celtics at this particular point in time. It's not just like he can have an operation to fix this. There's not anything wrong with his knee structurally. It's just arthritic at this point. It's bone to bone, much like Julian Edelman was dealing with at the beginning of the season for the Patriots before he had his procedure. So now this is where I'm at with Kemba. The contract is just bad. You can't argue that now. And this is on Danny Ainge, reality of the situation it is. Don't give me, well, how could he know this is going to happen? Well, I mean, it's pretty damn simple to figure this out. He had three knee procedures when he was in Charlotte, including a torn meniscus, which is a pretty serious surgery. This isn't me second guessing this either. I did a free agency special right here on WEI on July 1st of 2019, the day they signed Kemba Walker. So I'm not second guessing this. This is something I said the day they signed Kemba, that knee was a ticking time bomb. I hated the signing the day they made it. He didn't fit the timeline, first of all, of Tatum and Jaylen Brown. He was older. He's entering his 30-year-old season. So when he was signing with the Celtics, it was for his 29-year-old season. But more importantly, at the time, it felt like a panic move because he had just lost Kyrie Irving. So it's like, all right, Kyrie's gone. We got Kemba. Screw Kyrie. Kemba's in the building. Okay, well, let's look at the medicals a little more seriously here. The guy I wanted was Malcolm Brogdon, who was only 24. He ended up getting a four-year deal worth about $85 million from the Indiana Pacers, was a borderline all-star this year. That's the guy I wanted. Not to mention he's not a liability defensively because he's 6'5", unlike Kemba, who is, he's listed at 6 feet, but is he? I mean, come on. But here's the biggest thing that I want to point to that illustrates how much the C's ignored the knee issue when they signed Kemba. So just think about this. The Charlotte Hornets, who are the team that they just want to be relevant, right? Their goal every year is to try to get into the postseason, get into the playoffs, get that 7, get that 8 seed. Now, usually they don't get there, but that's their goal each and every year. They're not one of these tanking franchises. I know they just picked 3rd overall, but that's not what they try to do. They're trying to get into the postseason. Now, this is not how I would want to build my team, not how I would want to operate if I had an NBA franchise, but this is how the Hornets do their business. And Kemba Walker is the best player in the history of their franchise. Yeah, they had Alonzo Mourning there, who was a better player, but things obviously didn't end well there with Alonzo Mourning and the Hornets. He ends up with the Heat. Larry Johnson, Muggsy Bogues, they're not there long enough either. Charlotte wants to sell tickets and garner interest. And Kemba was a draw. He was their biggest star. So when it comes time, rather, for Kemba Walker to enter free agency last summer, what did the Hornets do? Oh, yeah, they lowballed Kemba. They offered him just $160 million. And you're saying, well, Brian, well, hold on. How do they lowball him? They're offering him $160 million. You're telling me they lowballed him? Yeah, because he was eligible to make $220 million on the Supermax. So the Charlotte Hornets were offering him about 72% of what he could have made. We're talking about $60 million less. That's what the Hornets were offering Kemba. They wouldn't even offer him the regular max contract of $188 million. So when you make an offer like that, you're sending the message, we really don't want you back, right? That's what they're doing. They give him an offer just to kind of save face. But essentially, when you offer somebody $60 million less than he's supposed to make or scheduled to make, you're telling him you don't want him back. When you're offering any person in any business, yeah, we'll keep you, but we're only going to pay you 72% of what we were paying you or what you're supposed to be paid. Nobody's taking that job. That's why Kemba Walker decided to come to the Celtics. It had nothing to do with, oh, yeah, I want to go to the Celtics and win a championship. Yeah, after the Hornets decided to lowball you by $60 million. And why did they do that? Because they didn't trust the health of the player whatsoever. They felt that he was a ticking time bomb. They didn't give in. And this is a team that doesn't want to rebuild. They want to stay relevant, but they knew we can't even stay relevant with Kemba because that knee's not going to hold up for the next couple of years. Never mind 4 or 5 years into the contract we could give him. We're talking about right now. We don't think it's going to hold up for the next couple of seasons. So they didn't. And oh, by the way, don't give me that the Hornets wanted to rebuild. They just signed Gordon Hayward. 4 years, $120 million. Hayward's 30. They're going all in to try to get into that play-in game this year because they're going to do that thing that Memphis and Portland played in last year. Remember that? Which is actually not a bad idea for the NBA. I like that one-game elimination. But anyway, getting back to the original point, the reality is they're going to try to get there. They probably won't. They suck. But just think about this. The Hornets had more faith in Gordon Hayward's health going forward than they did with Kemba Walker. We here, I think of Hayward as an injury-prone player, and rightfully so. He has gotten hurt every season he's been a member of the Celtics. But you have Charlotte, who knows Kemba's health better than anybody else, and they're saying, we trust that Gordon Hayward is actually going to be healthier for the majority of the rest of his career compared to Kemba Walker. That's the bet the Hornets made. And I'm not telling you there's a lot of stakes with their bet because they're in a situation where they suck anyway, but they are trying to get into the playoffs. They bet on the health of Gordon Hayward over the health of Kemba Walker. So that should have been a light bulb moment for everyone. They won't sign Kemba. They're trying to keep the fan base interested. They're trying to go for that 7-8 seed. They won't offer him $220 million. They'll only offer him $160 million. That should have been a light bulb moment for Danny Ainge and the front office with the Celtics to say, you know what, maybe we should be careful about this whole signing Kemba Walker situation. What does that tell you about the long-term health of Kemba Walker? A team that wanted to keep him, would have wanted to keep him, if he was actually healthy, said, you know what, no, he's our franchise icon. He's the most popular Hornet of all time, but you know what, yeah, we're good. We don't believe in the knee. And now the Celtics are stuck with this contract, $140 million. You just saw the first year of it. It was not pretty for Kemba Walker whatsoever. Not pretty for him whatsoever, to the point where not once, not twice, not three times, but four times last year, Kemba was missing time in terms of a knee injury. Four different times. We're at the point now where he's getting stem cell injections, where you're crossing your fingers and you're just hoping that it's going to work. That's the bottom line. A guy in Gordon Hayward that was hurt every year, the Hornets think he's going to be healthier than Kemba Walker going forward. What does that tell you as a Celtics fan right now? How can you be optimistic whatsoever about the long-term health of Kemba Walker? I'm moving forward. And I know this sounds incredibly pessimistic in terms of Kemba Walker, but I'm moving forward with the idea that anything you get from Kemba Walker in the upcoming season is gravy. I have no expectations for the player anymore. It just seems like he's damaged goods. How many times are we going to talk about Kemba Walker's knee and whether or not the Celtics have the right plan? We heard a bunch of times last year that they had the right plan, and clearly they didn't. They couldn't figure it out last year, and I'm not blaming the Celtics. I'm telling you in terms of, I don't think their health professionals messed it up or the team doctors messed it up or anything along those lines. I'm blaming Danny Ainge for originally signing Kemba Walker because anybody should have known at that particular point in time if Charlotte wasn't going to sign him when they desperately needed attention and he was their biggest star and they were lowballing him. They only offered him 72% of what he could have made. I'm blaming Danny Ainge for that. But in terms of the Celtics trying to get this thing right with Kemba, try everything you want to try. Try anything at this point. I'm not blaming the medical professionals. How could they handle this situation? He's got a bone-on-bone arthritic knee. So going forward, I'm not banking on Kemba Walker playing any role that is significant on this team. That's just it. I don't have any hope. How could you? All right, 617-779-7937 is the number. Brian Barrett with you up until 1 a.m. tonight. A lot to get into. And we'll continue to talk about the Celtics because more bombs were dropped at that press conference today. Danny Ainge actually admitted something at the team's media day that he never should have. We'll get into that in just a little bit as well, and we'll get you trending in just a second here on WEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We're right back to what you want to hear. More of Brian Barrett on EEI.
All right, so what do you make of this Kemba Walker news? He's not going to be ready for the beginning of the season, and stop me if you heard this before, because of a knee issue. This time he had a stem cell injection. 617-779-7937 is the number. Look, I'm not going to tell you that Gordon Hayward, the contract that he got from the Charlotte Hornets, was a good one, but I would take that contract over Kemba Walker's contract in a second. I have no faith whatsoever that Kemba Walker is actually going to contribute to this team in the near future. We saw last year he was not good when he came back from the knee injury on several occasions. He gave you next to nothing in the postseason, especially considering he's a max player. I shouldn't say he gave you next to nothing, but for a max player, completely underachieved in the postseason. So four times last year, they tried to get it right with the knee issue. So now all of a sudden, we're supposed to believe, oh, he got a stem cell injection. Everything is going to be cured with Kemba Walker now. I just don't buy it whatsoever. And at least Hayward, and I'm not telling you that Hayward has a good contract in Charlotte, but at least he's not a complete liability defensively like Kemba Walker is. The reality of the situation is Kemba can be taken advantage of defensively. And as I mentioned, I'm moving forward now. I can't imagine Kemba plays any significant role on this team going forward. I just don't trust the knee. And I'm not going to be one of these people that is just waiting for Kemba Walker to come back and save the team. Not banking on a guy with an arthritic knee. I told you last year, they had the plan to get him ready. Never worked. Never worked. Multiple plans to get him ready. And I'm not even blaming the Celtics medical staff. I'm just telling you, it's very difficult to get a guy ready to play when he has an arthritic knee. We saw it on four different occasions. This is the last hope, a stem cell injection. And even if it does work, it's only going to be a temporary thing, just like we saw last year when he got his knee drained and he had the injection. And what happened to Kemba Walker in the postseason last year? He wasn't good. 19 points a game on 44% shooting, 31% from three. And he couldn't go by big men. Centers were holding up Kemba Walker. He couldn't fly by centers. You realize Kemba Walker played in a postseason game last year against the Raptors where he played 52 minutes, which he never should have been playing that much, even if it was the postseason based on his knee. I mean, that should have been an indicator to the coach. Brad, his knee sucks, and you're playing him 52 minutes. But anyway, in that game, he had 5 points. This is a max player. So last year, I did not buy that he was going to be effective coming back. Why would I get suckered in this time? So then it brings me to this with Kemba. What can you even bank on him giving you in the postseason, which is that's where you need your max players to shine, right? Is that's when they make their money is in the postseason. So it would be one thing if he was this great offensive player, But is he really that guy anymore? He was inefficient last year in the postseason. We just gave you the numbers. Shot 31% from three, 44% from the field. So you can get away with having a negative defender, and that's what Kemba is. And look, he tries on defense. He's not a dog on defense like James Harden where he doesn't try. He actually tries on defense. The problem is when you have a small, diminutive point guard like that, you can take advantage of that player. So he's not a great defender, and if he's not a great defender, that means he has to really contribute on the offensive side of things, right? So, like, for example, Steph Curry, and he's a better defender than Kemba Walker because he's 6'3". You can't take advantage of Steph Curry like you can take advantage of Kemba. Now, Curry, I'm not telling you he's a great defender, but he does have really good hands. And Curry, in his postseason career, he's one of the best offensive players we've ever seen because of the gravity he brings with him with his shooting. His postseason career, he averages 26 a game. He shoots 40% from three. So, yeah, he may not be great defensively, but you know what he does? He elevates everything on the other side of the floor. And with Kemba Walker, he's not 6'3" like Steph Curry. He's not an all-time great shooter like Steph Curry. So he's not really adding to what you do offensively. He's not making you better as an offensive basketball team because he can't right now with his knee situation go by big men. And even if he can when he comes back next season, maybe for a couple of weeks, are you really going to trust that heading into the postseason? Because we've seen this on multiple occasions with Kemba where he comes back, maybe he looks great for a little bit, then he sucks again because his knee's bothering him, right? So at least with a guy like Curry or a guy like James Harden, and I know Harden hasn't made it to the NBA Finals, but he's been to the conference finals a bunch of times. At least with those guys who aren't great defenders, they completely elevate and they can carry your offense. With Kemba Walker, he's not even a great offensive player anymore. So when I look at Kemba Walker going forward, this is a horrible, horrible contract. Horrible contract. Not a tradable, not a movable contract. Danny Ainge, this particular offseason, was looking to move Kemba Walker's contract. Remember? There was reporting he's looking to move Kemba for draft picks so then he could flip those picks for Jrue Holiday. Who knows what to believe with Danny Ainge? But the bottom line is Kemba's name was out there and nobody was biting because he is a 30-year-old point guard now with an arthritic knee. That's what you're stuck with. That's why I advocated on July 1st of 2019 not to sign this guy. Everybody thought I was crazy because, oh, it's Kemba Walker. He's a star. He's a third-time All-NBA guy or third-team All-NBA guy. But this is the indicator that you should have been looking for. His old team was offering him $60 million less than what he was eligible for. In fact, they only offered him $160 million. That's not even the regular max. The regular max was $188 for a guy of Kemba's service time. Because he made an All-NBA team, he could have made $220 million. They only offered him $160 million. This is a team that just wants to get into the hunt. They just want to get into the postseason. They just signed Gordon Hayward for $30 million per season. $30 million per season for a guy that we don't believe can stay healthy whatsoever. They're banking on that guy's health over Kemba Walker's health. What should that tell you about this player going forward? Let's get to Mikey's in North Providence tonight. Hey, Mike.
Hi, Brian. Yeah, you know, I agree with you as far as, like, the contract not being a good contract. At the same time, it's also kind of like water under the bridge. There's nothing you can really do about it. That being said, I think the Celtics need to get out ahead of this and you know, say he's going to be the sixth man. You start Marcus. You start somebody else next to him in the backcourt, or maybe you start Grant Williams at power forward and you have, you know, Jalen next to Marcus in the backcourt. You lean into Tatum and Brown being the scorers in the first unit, and you help by doing this, you reduce Kemba's minute load right out of the gates.
Yeah, just naturally. It's not a bad idea, Mike. I'm with you on that. It's a good idea because when he comes off the bench, he's obviously going to be playing less minutes. You put less stress on the knee. That may be an easier way to bring him back and allow him to play against second units where maybe he can go by those guys.
And another thing, too, is that also helps mitigate his defensive issues because it's easier to get by in the second units against teams than it is the first units. So, I mean, of course, you figure he'll be in the finishing lineup, but for most of the game, he'll be out there with lighter defensive load to go and use it. And, you know, to me, they've been complaining about bench scoring for a while around here. Well, I mean, I figure that he'll be a pretty good option there, and you're just kind of insulating him because the mentality has to be, and if I'm Danny and Brad, I'd say, listen, do you want to be on your feet at the end of the season, and do you want to be actually contributing to the team in the playoffs? as opposed to basically dragging yourself through it, trying to be what you used to be. Because this is, I mean, this is about, you know, at least being a good player with what you have right now. I mean, he doesn't want to be in this physical shape that he's in.
Right.
And they don't want him to be, but he is in this shape and this will protect them.
Yeah, I agree with pretty much everything you're saying and appreciate the phone call, Mike. And if you really think about it, the evidence you can give to Kemba is, hey, look at last year when your minutes were up. Look at what happened to you last year where you're playing 34 minutes, then 35 minutes, then 36 minutes, then 52 minutes in a postseason game. Look at what happened to you. By the end of the postseason, you weren't the same player anymore. You weren't healthy. Remember that little stretch at the beginning of the bubble? It's like, oh, yeah, that kind of looks like Kemba. That resembles the guy that we saw at the beginning of the season for the Seas last year. And then by the time we got to the end of the bubble and to the end of the series against the Miami Heat, I alluded to the fact that he wasn't able to dribble around big men. And Kemba Walker's game is predicated on his speed. It's predicated on his explosion. It's all about his ability to get by guys, get by defenders, right? So going forward now with Kemba Walker, you've got to figure out a way, if you're the Celtics, to try to make this the contract's never going to look good, but at least try to get something out of the player that you're paying $140 million to. That's why I agree with what Mike's saying. If you bring him off the bench, it's the easiest situation to actually monitor his minutes because you're taking away those starter minutes right away. And then also, when you factor in he gets in there against a lot of second units, maybe that makes it easier for him to get to the basket and score, to get into the lane and do what Kemba Walker does when he's actually relatively healthy. But that's your only way to manage this situation and actually get him to the finish line, where when you get into a postseason game, because now this is Tatum and Brown's team, and that's the reality of where we're at right now. This is Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown's team, and mainly Jason Tatum, and Jaylen Brown was great last season, had a huge improvement, but this is Jason Tatum's team. You just gave him a 5-year max contract. He is now the face of the franchise. The long-term health of this organization depends on Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown as they continue to develop. So if you want to get anything out of Kemba Walker, you need to keep his minutes down. That's why I say anything you get with Kemba, it's gravy. And that's why that solution's a good one, to bring him off the bench and see if he can give you some bench scoring and give you a little bit of pop in a postseason game where it's like, oh, Kemba Walker came off the bench. He gave you 25 minutes. And in those 25 minutes, he hit 3 threes and he ends up finishing the game with 17 points and 9 assists. And he was the jolt you needed off the bench. Because last year, you had one of the worst bench scoring units in the entire NBA. Who are you fearful of coming off the bench for the Celtics, right? All these other teams across the sport had guys they brought off their bench. Look at Miami, who you played in the postseason last year. They brought Tyler Hero off the bench, who was giving them a boost at times. We see this with the Clippers in the Western Conference, where they bring Lou Williams off the bench. And he elevates what they're able to do in terms of giving them a little bit of a punch in terms of scoring. Heck, even Rondo gave the Lakers a boost in terms of their scoring in the postseason. Not him individually, but he helped their offense. He helped run their offense. So when you look at Kemba Walker, you just have to realize this if you're Danny Ainge and if you're Brad Stevens. Okay, we signed him to a $140 million contract. Never going to live up to that. He's never going to be that player. But we have to at least get something out of that. So instead of trying to force him to be a starter and hoping he can get up to playing 32 minutes a night, let's just go forward with the fact that, all right, he's not the same player anymore, but can we get a productive 20 minutes a night? Can we get a productive 22 minutes a night? That's what you have to do. And unfortunately, this is just the reality of where you're at right now with this particular player. That's where he's at in his career. The knee cannot hold up. It can't, bottom line. All right, 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett with you up until 1 a.m. And even I think about, and now Kemba's never been as good as this guy, but Dwayne Wade, at the end of his career, he goes back to Miami. Remember, he went to Cleveland, he went to Chicago, and he was dealing with all these knee issues. He had knee issues throughout his career. And Dwayne Wade goes back to Miami at the end of his career, and he comes off the bench, and he actually contributes to them in a playoff series against Philadelphia. Now, they don't actually win the series, but he could contribute off the bench when Eric Spoelstra monitored his minutes. That's what the Celtics have to do going forward as it pertains to Kemba Walker and trying to get him ready to play in postseason games, because that's where you're going to need him to contribute. All right, a lot more to get into, including Danny Ainge admitted something
at the team's media day that he shouldn't have. I'll get to it next here on WEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
To it. This is Brian Barrett on EEI.
But I'll just say that, you know, we did have discussions with Indiana, not going to go into the details, and we knew what the risks were, and we knew what all the options were. We could do signing trades with Indiana, with a couple other teams, and with Charlotte, and there were cap possibilities, including Charlotte. Teams out there that had cap space that were willing to offer Gordon some of their cap space money. And we thought that any one of those options were good. But, like, our number one option was getting Gordon to come back. And so all the way to the end, we thought we were. But we weren't gambling with assets in our hands. We knew that all of those were very good options for many different reasons. And I can't really go into the details of those conversations.
All right, that was Danny Ainge today. At Media Day for the Celtics, did not go well. The two talking points, Kemba Walker's knee, as he's not going to be available to at least after the new year. He'll miss the start of the season. And the whole situation that transpired with Gordon Hayward. What did you make of Danny Ainge's comments? 617-779-7937. So first of all, let me get to this. He talks about the fact that they considered all the possibilities, the sign and trades, et cetera. We talked about all these teams. What he doesn't understand with all this is it wasn't your call. Gordon Hayward was the free agent. He could have gone anywhere he wanted to. As we saw, he ends up going to the Charlotte Hornets. So Danny Ainge up there is acting like this was in their control. No, it wasn't. Gordon Hayward dictated the terms. He dictated where he wanted to go. This wasn't your decision. This was Gordon Hayward's decision, okay? Now, the other thing, and the more concerning thing for me, for a really intelligent guy like Danny Ainge, what the hell are you doing saying that the number one priority was to bring back Gordon Hayward? Why are you saying that publicly? What good does that do for you? You're admitting that you whiffed. You're admitting that you failed on the Hayward front. You lost a guy to the Charlotte freaking Hornets, okay? Not the Lakers, not the Heat, heck, not even the Rockets or the Dallas Mavericks, some of these cities that NBA players like to play in. Not the New York Knicks, even though they have horrible ownership, but hey, not Brooklyn, right? No, the Charlotte Hornets. And yes, I understand that Hayward said today that he wanted a bigger role. We'll get into Hayward's comments in greater detail, but the overwhelming point is this looks horrible. You're admitting, if you're Danny Ainge, that Hayward was your number one priority and you couldn't get him back here. And then you're praising him. And I get it. Danny Ainge was waxing poetically about Gordon Hayward and the fact that he didn't leave the bubble when his wife had their fourth child, his son. And I do applaud Gordon Hayward for that. I give him a lot of credit. He came back early from an ankle injury. He clearly was still hobbled. He was not 100% yet. And he tried to get it out for the team. I give him a lot of credit for that. I really do. He felt like, all right, maybe I can contribute, give this team a little boost. I'm sure some of it was he felt bad that over the years, not that it was in his control, but he felt bad over the years that he had all these injuries. He wanted to contribute to the team. I give him a ton of credit for that. But for Danny Ainge to be up there today waxing poetically about Gordon Hayward and what a great player he was and the fact that, hey,
Gordon was our number one priority. That was the number one priority, not a sign and trade, nothing along those lines. Our number one priority was to bring Gordon Hayward back. Why are you admitting that publicly? Even if that was your prerogative, even if that was what you wanted to do, and I don't see why Danny Ainge would lie about that. That doesn't do him any good right now. So he's just putting it out there that that's what the team wanted to do. That was their number one thing this offseason. Not, oh, let's get a big because Bam Adebayo exposed us in the postseason. Joel Embiid was averaging 30 points per game. Bam Adebayo averaged 22, 9, and what, 5 assists, or 22, 11, and 5 assists. So the number one priority wasn't, how do we improve our front court? Our number one priority is, what are we doing with Gordon Hayward? But hey, that's Danny Ainge's idea of how to keep building this team, is to keep Gordon Hayward around. But the fact that you admitted it, I don't understand why you would do that as an executive. It doesn't make any sense to me. What are you gaining out of telling the fan base? What are you gaining out of that? You're telling everybody that you whiffed on your number one priority. It doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. And by the way, I just want to point this out to the diehard Celtics fans out there. And you know who you are. The diehard Celtics fans love to applaud Danny Ainge for everything he's done with the Celtics organization, right? These are the same people that defend every move he makes. Oh, what was he going to do? What was he going to do? Oh, well, hey, I like this guy. Oh, Tristan Thompson, love him. Way better than Miles Turner, right? You know who you are. The Celtics fans that defend every move that Danny Ainge makes. You're the same Celtics fans that were telling us how great Grant Williams is or how great Peyton Pritchard is going to be. Everything that Danny Ainge does, you're applauding as it's going to be great, right? So I just want to make it clear for the diehard Celtics fans out there, the people that defend and back every move Danny Ainge makes, right? Because there is this certain portion of the Celtics fan base that will not be critical of Danny Ainge and will not be critical of Brad Stevens. That's just the reality. There is a portion of the fan base that is so defensive about every move that this team makes, right? Danny Ainge today, okay, he told you, the entire fan base, and especially the Danny Ainge defenders, and I'm not telling you Danny Ainge is horrible at his job or anything along those lines. I'm just telling you I can acknowledge when the guy actually makes mistakes, unlike these diehard Celtics fans, right? The green teamers, right? So if you want to defend Danny Ainge and you want to say, hey, this team is actually better without Gordon Hayward. We're better off without Gordon Hayward, right? Our team is better without Gordon. I'm happy he left. If you want to say that, I just want you to know that you can't give me the whole, well, Charlotte's dumb, screw Hayward, he'll suck there. You can't say that if you're a Danny Ainge backer. If you're telling me that you basically agree with everything Danny Ainge does, and a lot of you out there agree with everything Danny Ainge does, and he doesn't make any mistakes, and everything he does is right. I just want you to know that Danny Ainge today, okay, Danny Ainge today said his number one priority was bringing back Gordon Hayward. So essentially, Danny Ainge is saying, hey, we needed Hayward back into the equation. We wanted Gordon Hayward back. So I don't want to hear any of the green teamers telling me, oh, screw Hayward. He's not going to be good in Charlotte. Charlotte's going to suck. Oh, he's going to be playing for a horrible team. He doesn't care about winning, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to hear any of that from Celtics fans, these super defensive Celtics fans. Hey, if you're critical of Danny Ainge or critical of Brad Stevens, the more the merrier. I'll take your calls, okay? Certainly will. But the green teamers that defend everything that Danny Ainge does, he told you today his number one priority in free agency was bringing back Gordon Hayward. So don't tell me that the Celtics are better off without Gordon Hayward if you're one of the Danny Ainge backers. Don't be screw you, Gordon Hayward. You're going to suck with the Hornets. The team's going to be irrelevant, because the reality of the situation is, for some inexplicable reason to me, it's really baffling. I don't know why Danny Ainge said this. He admitted publicly that he screwed up the offseason. He legitimately admitted today that the whole idea of this offseason, what he was trying to do, was to bring back Gordon Hayward. He admitted that today. I don't know why he did that. Even if you really, truly wanted him back, why would you admit that? Why would you admit that to the fan base? You're essentially telling them, you know what? I let you down. That's essentially what he's saying. You know what, Green Zemers? I let you down this offseason because I really wanted Gordon back. I really wanted Gordon back. I wanted him back on this team. And you know what? I love the guy. Such an unselfish player. Unbelievably unselfish. I'm not telling you he wants, and this is what Danny Ainge is saying, he doesn't want to average 25 points a game. He just wants a bigger role with a different organization. I wish we could have brought him back. I wanted him back. Okay, well, I don't know. I don't know why you're telling everybody that the offseason did not go the way that you wanted it to go. How do you gain anything out of that if you're Danny Ainge? All right, a lot more to get into. The number 617-779-7937. Okay, I will try to explain why Danny Ainge actually wanted Gordon Hayward back with his team. And the other question I have with the Celtics is, where are they at right now? Are they building? Are they rebuilding? Are they still contenders? Where do they rank in the Eastern Conference hierarchy? We'll get into all that right here on WEI.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.